Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Bartimaeus was one of many blind people that Jesus healed. Before he received his physical eyesight, Bartimaeus had received spiritual insight, for he called Jesus by one of his messianic titles, the Son of David. Because of his faith in Jesus, Bartimaeus received his eyesight. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 10 and join Pastor Ray Viola as he begins his study of verses 46 through 52.
Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, God bless you. No. He said, have mercy on me. He didn't say, God bless you. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will you that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Both Matthew and Luke mention this particular scene. They mention two blind men. Mark mentions Bartimaeus more than likely because he is the one who spoke out. We have to get the context here. Jesus is in Jericho, moving down to Jerusalem, southeast to Jerusalem, about a 15-mile journey. And this is going to be the end of his earthly ministry. He knows what awaits him there in Jerusalem. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be left alone. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be crucified. So as Son of Man, he has a lot on his heart, doesn't he? He has a lot on his mind. But here we find Jesus, in spite of what awaits him, performing the last miracle that we read of in the Gospel of Mark. And there's some lessons there for us as we will look at them. You know, it's an interesting thing to study the Scriptures. And we find that Jesus healed blind people different ways. One man was healed by spitting. Another was healed by speaking. Another was healed by touching. And I wonder if those three individuals wrote a book, How to Be Healed by Jesus. The spitters, the speakers, and the touchers. Now, I say all of that because it is very, very dangerous for us to present how God works in these neat, predictable packages or formulas. God is faithful. We know that. But, and I say this reverently, but he is unpredictable. Jesus Christ is our faithful Lord. He's not simply a formula that we use to get whatever we want. Now, the prophet Isaiah spoke of the messianic era in chapter 61, When Jesus was in his hometown synagogue, he picked up the scroll of Isaiah that we read about in Luke 4, 18 and 19, and he said these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That is not what Jesus used to do. That is what Jesus does today. He still allows the gospel to be preached to the poor. He still heals the brokenhearted. He still preaches deliverance to captives. He still gives recovering of sight to the blind. He still sets at liberty those that are bruised. And we thank God for that. That when we pray for those that are afflicted or bruised or physically hurting, we can pray with confidence in the name of Jesus and ask him to touch them and know that he will. But there's one thing that I think as believers we can often overlook. Two words Jesus said to those who called out to him. He said, "Follow me." Now listen carefully. Every time we find Jesus interacting with individuals, Jesus Christ is revealing to you and me how he expects us as his followers to engage with people who are hurting, who are needy, who are diseased, who are oppressed, who are condemned, or who are under the attack of the enemy. And so here we find Bartimaeus. He's a blind man. He's a beggar. He has obviously a context in his life, a history that we know nothing of other than he was the son of Timaeus. And there's a great crowd that is following Jesus as he's making his way to Jerusalem. And we're going to see that Bartimaeus cries out, "Oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And there are going to be people who, when they hear Bartimaeus say that, tell him basically, "Shut up. Don't bother Jesus." And I take that to mean, personally, that when I am confronted by people who are hurting or needy, I can have a mentality of the crowd, "Shut up, don't bother me." Or I can be like merciful and compassionate Jesus. It's no coincidence that at least three times in his earthly ministry, Jesus quotes Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, where he says, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice." What's sacrifice all about? Well, the sacrifice speaks of religious people who know all of the words, who will go through all of the motions, but they're individuals who are void of the compassion, mercy, and love of God for those who are hurting. Just follow the context. For example, in the Old Testament, you know the story of Samuel going to Saul. And Saul offered up a sacrifice that he was not allowed to offer because he thought that he had to do something spiritual because of a problem that was existing at the time. And you can read about it in the book of Samuel. And then Samuel told Saul what? To obey, to listen to God is better than sacrifice. Jesus is our example. Amen? Here's our example. How did Jesus teach his disciples? Was he like my dear brother Frank? Did he have a clicker with overhead? Point one, point two, point three, point four. Jesus taught by example. Now, whenever you and I are reading the life of Christ, know this. He is the express image of the Father on earth. Whatever Jesus is doing, however he is engaging with people, he is the express image of the Father. So if you want to know what the Father is like, you look at Jesus. Jesus said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But it is they who speak of me." And so the scriptures point to Jesus. And Jesus is the gospel. And so thus, the purpose of our being redeemed is that you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, would follow his example and live gospel-shaped, not religious-shaped lives for the glory of God. You see, we live in a day and age where we have access to all kinds of Bible information more than any other generation. But we need to remember that the gospel is not simply good news that is to be learned. It's good news of a life that now we can live for the glory of God. And so here they are, Jesus with his disciples and a great multitude. And Bartimaeus is sitting by the highway side begging. No doubt people had passed him by time and time again. And he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is coming by, and he cries out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Whenever we're reading the scriptures, it's important that we understand what's going on. This is nothing that we can take or we can overlook quickly. Jesus, thou son of David. God's doing something in Bartimaeus' heart here. Because in Jeremiah 23, Matthew 24, Romans 1, Revelation 22, Jesus is identified as the son of David. What does that mean? Jack Hayford says, Bartimaeus acknowledges the messiahship of Jesus in his use of the title Son of David. And then he writes, "The confession is all the more significant since Jesus is headed toward the cross. I know you are the Messiah. I believe you are the Messiah." And then he cries out for mercy. "Have mercy on me." I want to read a couple of passages of Scripture. Matthew 15, 22. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Can you imagine? Mom, that is you? Or dad? And then the account of the 10 lepers. Luke 17, 13, "They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." You see, these people in this condition could not even come close to the door of a synagogue or a temple. They were considered outcasts. But I want you to know that when this man cries out for mercy, verse 49 tells us Jesus stops in his tracks. That's significant. You see, because a legalistic religious person of the day would have told the mother with the daughter, vexed with the devil, and the 10 lepers that the problem was some sin in their life. That was the cause of your condition. Go get your act together and then come to the Lord. That's religion. Go get your act together, then come to the Lord. Now, the gospel is come to the Lord, and then he helps you to start getting your act together. But how many of you know, the longer that you walk with him, you wonder, how far have I gotten? What a contrast. You see, what broken people need, beloved, broken people that you and I deal with every day, and sometimes we are the broken people, what we need is the truth of the gospel and mercy, not a lecture on morality. And so they charged Bartimaeus, hold your peace. And yet he cries out, you son of David, have mercy on me, a great deal. You see, Bartimaeus didn't listen to the crowd. If he listened to the crowd, he would have never gotten to Jesus. They said, keep quiet. Don't bother Jesus. But Bartimaeus would let nothing stand in his way of getting to Jesus. He was persistent. He was persistent in his cry. Jesus told us, when we go to God in prayer, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Charles Spurgeon said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Cold prayers never win God's ear. Draw thy bow with thy full strength, if you would send thy arrow up so high as heaven. Needy ones today, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep crying. And I believe that there's a key, there's a word that stops the Lord in his tracks. Have mercy on me. So Jesus stands still. Now, don't forget that crowds would follow the rabbis. And the rabbi would be teaching their followers. And so, basically, this is a Bible study that is going on. It's a moving Bible study. So you know what's happening here? Bartimaeus is breaking up the Bible study. He's an interruption. Bart, keep quiet. We're studying the Bible. Now you go, that's ridiculous. But that's what's happening. That's why they said, be quiet. Jesus commands him to be called. Now, I would imagine that after the initial, what's going on? He's stopping. The entourage is stopping. I would imagine that if this was an altar, that probably the spotlight now is on Jesus and Bartimaeus. So let's see Jesus at work. He commands him to be called, and they called the blind man and said unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calls you. He's calling you. What a window this account gives us into the selfless, other-minded heart of our merciful Father and our blessed Savior Jesus Christ. Again, the context. He's on his way to fulfill the brutal beatings and all of the Psalms and what's written in the law and in Isaiah. He knows what awaits him. And yet, being sent by the Father permits this, what you and I would call interruption, to take place. You know what this teaches us? Sometimes when you and I are going through our greatest trial, what we need is to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto someone else who has a need. My brother sent me a quote last week, and it was so right on. He said, "The church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints." Here's Bartimaeus. Now, no doubt, there's the religious crowd that were always there with their iPads or their cell phones or their Twitter account. Go, he's doing it again. He's followed by all of this riffraff. He's disrupting our neat and squeaky clean church. Don't you love Jesus? You see, you and I are Bartimaeus. Problem is, we quickly forget it. And so, notice, he's called, he casts away his garment, he rises up, and he comes to Jesus. Now, don't overlook this. He casts away his garment. For a blind man and for a beggar, the garment that he cast away was his only source of comfort, security, and identity. When the master calls, you have to disrobe yourself of all of your sources of comfort and security and identity to receive a new sense of comfort and security and identity, which is in Christ. And so can you imagine this scene? Here's Jesus. This man now comes to him, and he asks him this question: "What will you that I should do unto you?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Now, he had asked for mercy. Now he's asking for the ability to physically see. If you look at verse 36 in chapter 10, if you have your Bible open or your iPad or whatever, I find this really fascinating. In verse 36, Jesus said to James and John, in response to the question, "Master, we would that you should do for us whatever we shall desire." And so Jesus asked them the same question that he asked blind Bartimaeus. "What is it that you would that I should do for you?" Now listen, these are the apostles. These are the apostles. These are the ones that sat under the teaching of Jesus. These are the ones that should get it. Did they get it? No. What did they ask for? "Lord, that we may sit on your right hand and left hand in glory." Is it just me, or do you not see the irony of it? Here's blind Bartimaeus. He's not asking for a place of prominence. He's not asking for a seat in glory. He says, "Lord, what I need from you is mercy." You know what? Bart got what James and John didn't get. Sometimes you and I, as students of the Scripture, miss the message. We miss it. Or let me not point a finger at you. I do. "What would you that I should do to you?" You see, the apostle sought personal honor and glory among men, while the beggar sought mercy and healing. Well, let me ask you, if Jesus were to ask you this question this morning, "What is it that I should do for you?" What would you answer? You don't have to shout it out loud. Because how you and I would answer reveals a lot of where our priorities are. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.